We want to do good. And oftentimes we are motivated to support good causes. So here's a cause, and we're going to call it Good Food for All. That sound good? We're going to form a society, and you can join that society if you want to. And if you'd like, you could contribute to it to help with the expenses of getting the word out. Good Food for All. If you'd really like to encourage this particular effort for good, we're going to sell some t-shirts. And on it, it's going to have Good Food for All. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, the Lord warned when He preached. Matthew 7:15. Beware of the false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing. And what the Lord was telling us, everything that sounds good is not good. And we need to have caution before we jump on the bandwagon. This particular society, I need to know more about it. And when the Apostle Paul was writing the early Christians in the letter to the Thessalonians, there were people there who might claim to have a message from heaven to give to those people. But Paul said, this 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to what is good. But turn away from or abstain from every form of evil. And so he encouraged those Christians in the early churches not only to have caution, but to engage in active examination of the things that they might hear, even if it's claimed to be by a prophet. This particular society has a renowned name behind it. Eve, an illustrious woman, Eve. She was told that this particular tree, it's a special tree, and it had some really good food. The tree, she saw it, she said, it's good for food. And, in fact, I read later that the Apostle Paul said that foods are created by God to be received with thanksgiving. And nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude and prayer. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? One of the things about Satan that were introduced in the in the very first part of our Bible is that he's a deceiver. You move all the way to the New Testament, and Paul was still concerned about that because he said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 that he was concerned that their minds could be led astray, that they could be deceived like Eve was deceived. And so it's still a threat for Satan to deceive people. And so here's the society that sounds so good, but in fact, when you examine it and learn more about it, you'll see that it sprang from a lack of trust in God and disobedience to His will. But if you didn't do the examination, if you weren't cautious, you might jump on board. In fact, she was able to get her husband to sign up. And that's why we had announcements today about sick people. That's why people die. That's why our world is corrupt. So because a society might sound good, doesn't mean it's something I want to have a part in. I better be cautious and examine. Now, when Adam was confronted by God about why he did that, he said, well, the woman you gave me, there's his justification. She convinced him, or whatever she did, to partake in this food. You remember God's response? He said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife. You should have listened to me, not listened to these other voices. And as you go through life, there will be voices you can choose to listen to. Some are okay, but some will get you into trouble. Here's another movement. Now, that one I mentioned a while ago, that society, as you well know, is fictitious. The facts underneath it are factual. But here's a real society that I want to talk about now. We'll start out with a couple of concepts that we all embrace. One is the concept of salvation. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 76, Zacharias was talking about how God, through the prophets, had talked about salvation from our enemies. Is there anybody in this audience that would not embrace that concept and want to have a share in getting that message to the world? You can add to that over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, in writing to people who enjoyed that salvation. He said that they were to pick up the armor of God, take up the armor of God, that they might be able to stand. In other words, they're in a battle, and they're God's army. So here's salvation, a very scriptural concept. Here's the idea of a spiritual army fighting a battle against sin, another very scriptural concept. And so we're going to form a society, and we're going to call it the Salvation Army. You want to join? I tell you what, we'll be standing at the door of Walmart this fall. Would you like to contribute? If you really want to stand behind us, we've got some t-shirts that you could wear. It says Salvation Army. What can be wrong about the word salvation and army? The Salvation Army. But I remember what Jesus said. It sure sounds good, but he said, you better beware. You better have some caution before you leap. And so what I need to do is some examination, like Paul encouraged the Thessalonians. You got a fellow stands up in your assembly and claims to be a prophet. Said, you better examine everything. Hold fast to what's good, but avoid every form of evil. You want to be careful when you examine that you represent something correctly. So you might hear a lot of things about the Salvation Army. In fact, it would be interesting if you stop one of these people that will be collecting these donations this fall and ask them, what does the Salvation Army teach? What does it believe? I don't know that they could tell you. And that's the unfortunate thing sometimes, that people have joined a society and do not really know what the society stands for. The words sound good, but what does the society stand for? There's a book you can download in PDF format. It's called the Salvation Army Handbook. I downloaded it. So now I'm examining by going to the very source, their own documents as to what they teach. Are you aware of the fact that the Salvation Army teaches inherited total depravity? Now, do you still want to support it? Are you aware that the Salvation Army teaches men are saved by faith and that baptism is not a requisite to salvation? They're not arguing against baptism, but they don't teach that it's necessary to salvation. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to wear a shirt that says Salvation Army? You know that they believe that it's okay to use, that they believe people have spiritual gifts and speak in tongues. That very concept dilutes the New Testament truth on that matter. Do you want to support that society? But wait, preacher. The reason I do is they do so much good, and I don't deny they do good. I don't even deny they teach some things that are good. But the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 8, when he was discussing grace and salvation, he was slanderously charged by some people. When he argued that grace exalted God's glory and that we're saved by grace, some said he was teaching, let us do evil that good may come. You know what he said about that, don't you? That's slander. Paul did not adopt the idea that you could do evil to produce good results. And that was not his teaching on grace. And so, while there may be some good in the Salvation Army and the things they do, personally, I'm not going to wear their shirts. I'm not going to support them. I'm certainly not going to join them. Here's another slogan that sounds very good. And in and of itself, it is a good slogan. Black Lives Matter. Do they? Let me go ask my Lord. A lawyer asking what to do to inherit eternal life. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus said, well, what does your Bible say? He said, well, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you got to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that's correct. Do that and you'll live. Then the man said, who is my neighbor? And so then Jesus told the story we're familiar with about the Samaritan who found a man on the side of the road. Different race didn't make him any difference. And race, in fact, that did not like his race, the Samaritans, didn't make any difference. The man was in need. He had been robbed and beaten and left there. He stopped, spent his time, his money, his effort to rescue that man. And then Jesus posed the question to the lawyer. Which one of these men, there were two other fellows that passed, they didn't do anything. They were the same race. They did nothing. He said, which one of these proved to be neighbor? Well, the lawyer knew. He said, well, the fellow that stopped and helped him. He said, you know what Jesus said? Verse 36, go and do the same. Samaritan lives matter. Jewish lives matter. And those two races couldn't stand one another. But Jesus taught, whether black or white or yellow or red, lives matter. Whether poor or slave or rich, lives matter. Whether male or female, lives matter. So, we're going to form a society. The fact is, it's already been formed. And it's called the Black Lives Matter Foundation. This particular one is formed by three women. I'd like to support the concept that black lives matter. Well, here's a society that's their slogan. Would you like to join? Would you like to support their efforts to get that message out? There's a lot of racism. Jesus condemned racism in that story about the Samaritan. There's a lot of racism in the world. They want to fight racism. I tell you what, if you really want to help them out, they sell little bands you can buy to wear on your hand. They've got t-shirts you can buy and wear. Black Lives Matter. It sounds good and people jump on the bandwagon. But what did Jesus say again? Remind me. Beware. Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Satan told Eve, this food is good. This tree is good for food. I better be careful before I jump in. And I better do some examining. That's what Paul encouraged the Thessalonians to do. So just like with the Salvation Army, where I can download their handbook to tell me what they believe and teach, I can go to the webs and find out exactly what this society teaches. You can do the same thing. And I'm holding in my hand some quotes from their website. If you're interested after the lesson, I can give you or I can email it to you later where you can find this data. So here is not somebody talking about them, but what they say, they promote, and what their purpose is. Here's one quote. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters. Stop a minute. Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't you welcome somebody that was confused about sexuality if they were penitent and wanted to serve the Lord? The church at Corinth had people who had been homosexuals in it. Oh, wait, I didn't read the rest of the sentence, though. To participate and lead. In other words, they're okay and we want to put them out front. Here's another quote. We are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege. I don't know about you. I wasn't familiar with that word. I wonder how many people that wear a shirt or a banner that says Black Lives Matter know what that word means. I don't know why they used it. But be that as it may, that's the word they use. So I went and looked it up. That word, cisgender, is a term for people whose gender identity matches their sex assigned at birth. You're born a male. You stay a male. You don't try to change that. That's cisgender. They say, we want to dismantle that concept. Furthermore, in the Oxford Dictionary, in defining this word, it says, the term cisgender is the opposite of the word transgender. Born a male, but I want to be a woman, or vice versa, and act like a woman, dress like a woman. This society says we want to dismantle the ideas that a biological male is a male and should act like a male and dress like a male and talk like a male and vice versa on the woman. Furthermore, they say, quote, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. What is that? Again, I had to go do some research. I want to get it right. Nuclear family. What is that? Something to do with the atomic bomb and the atomic age? No. Here's a quote from Oxford Dictionary about nuclear family. A couple and their dependent children regarded as a basic social unit. In other words, the family that you read about in the Bible, the family that you know, They said, our aim is to disrupt that. You sure you want to wear their t-shirt? Here's another quote. We foster a clear, affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heter on our, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, heter on our motive thinking. Hetero on our motive. Anyway, you go look it up. I did. That word means denoting or relating to a worldview that promotes heterosexuality as the normal or preferred sexual orientation. And so, the idea that men ought to be attracted to women and women to men, heterosexuality. So we want to undermine that. In other words, let men be attracted to men and women to women. We call it homosexuality and lesbianism. And so they want to upset the idea and the belief in the world that people are heterosexual. You've heard of the LGBTQ movement. Supports lesbianism, homosexuality, bisexuality, transgenderism, and whatever else can fall under the Q. They're close allies with the Black Lives Movement Foundation. There's a chart that I have on this sheet. It's found at the Society for Black Lives. It's in Little Rock on their website. And on this chart at the top, it says unacceptable white supremacy. So it's got a list of things. It's unacceptable white supremacy. Let me mention two of them. One, Judeo-Christianity. Another one, law enforcement. Now you see why law is not respected and undermined? That's a basic tenet of this society. But, like with Eve's society, you know, food is good. Like with the Salvation Army, they do some good. The Black Lives Matter is fighting a terrible societal evil, and that's racism. But does it justify it? Shall we do evil, that good may come? That's what Paul said. Romans chapter 3 and verse 8. There's one more society. The word church immediately connotes positive thoughts, doesn't it? And certainly the word Christ. And so we'll take those two words and put them together, and we're going to form a society or an organization, and we're going to call it Church of Christ. Say, well, count me in. How do I join? Where can I contribute to it? Wait. What did the Lord say? Beware. I think that's what he said, wasn't it? Matthew 7:15. Hold on a minute. And then what did he have his apostle to write to the early Christians? Examine everything carefully. Oh, okay. What does this Church of Christ society teach? There are quote-unquote churches of Christ who support denominationalism. They support their preachers joining in societies with denominational preachers, moving about between the Church of Christ and the other denominations, and they're all on the same plane. All a part of Christendom. Do you want? You want a shirt? It says Church of Christ on it? there are churches of Christ that promote the LGB movement. Even have speakers in. Would you like to contribute to this society? Maybe you can get a little armband that says Church of Christ. You can wear it proudly. You sure? You sure? Over in Matthew 15, you know, people say, but it's religious and it exalts Christ. Well, I'd have to put some question marks behind that about whether it exalts Christ. And you say, well, at least they teach people morals. Well, some of them, the morals they inculcate are not the morals I read about in the New Testament. Just because they're religious, just because they're devout, doesn't mean I need to jump on the bandwagon. Jesus was in a discussion. He was actually confronted by some religious people who claimed to revere the Bible. They were Pharisees. And they were asking him, why don't your disciples wash their hands when they eat bread? And Jesus responded to them about how they had undermined the Word of God by this human tradition. And I want to read from verse 7. He said, you hypocrites. A hypocrite is somebody who pretends to be something they're really not. You hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy, you say. This people honors me with their lips. That is, the God of the Old Testament. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Why? Listen. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Now that's what my Lord said. Do I want to join up with a society that ignores what's written and teaches what people like or what is the tradition of men? Is that what I want to do? Oh, here's a Church of Christ. Let's see if you'd like to join this one and wear their shirt. It's over in Revelation chapter 2. In verse 19, it's the church at Thyatira. Maybe you moved to Thyatira. There's a church. Claims to be a Church of Christ. He said, verse 19, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and servants and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. There's some good people in the Thyatira church. But wait. Caution. That caution light goes on. Jesus said, beware. Do some examining. Oh, let's see more about that little society there in Thyatira. I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. And she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. He said in verse 22, I'll throw her on a bed of sickness and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. Now I'll kill her children with pestilence. Now, all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to his deeds. Now tell me again, did you want their shirt? It says, Thyatira, Church of Christ. Thank you, I'll pass. There were some good people there, but I don't think I want to wear a banner that promotes that particular society until there's some changes made. Over in the Ephesian letter in chapter 5, you know, people will wear the Church of Christ signs and banners and all. Oftentimes they don't really know what they teach. But rather, be that as it may, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is writing to Christians who lived in Ephesus, a very wicked place. I appreciated Neil's prayer, try to teach our children so they're not engulfed in this wicked society. Ephesus was a wicked place. And boy, the opportunities were everywhere to participate in all kinds of things. Here's what he told them, verse 11. Do not participate. You can use the word fellowship if you want to. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Would that mean don't support them? Don't advertise for them? Don't join them? But wait, there's another statement. He said, but instead even expose them. Expose them? You're liable to generate some animosity. And it will. Yes, but he said expose them. And that's what we're doing today. Exposing that which Satan deceptively tries to get men to be involved in. In 2 John and verse 10 and 11. 2 John verse 10. Now, we read about in Ephesus about all the immorality and ungodliness. But what about doctrine and teaching? 2 John verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching about Jesus that John had taught as an apostle of Christ, that he came in the flesh, died for the sins of mankind as the Son of God. If someone comes and does not bring this teaching, what do? Do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. What does that mean? See him on the street, walk on the other side? No. Greeting was a well-wishing. I'll say, oh, you're doing good, brother. Pat him on the back. Here, I'll give $5 to your work. He said, don't do it. He needs a place to stay while he preaches in town. Here, you can stay at my house. And no, you tell him he can't stay here while he's doing that kind of stuff. Nope. He says, the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. We need to think about it before we jump on the bandwagon. Before I sign up for the Good Food for All Society, I better find out something about it. Or that one that's called the Salvation Army, or the Black Lives Matter Foundation, or even one that says Church of Christ. Our aim is to please our God, not men, and to go to heaven when we die. And I trust that our studies like this one will help us toward that end.